Again, studying Schmidt and Prusba last week, we discussed the fact that there is a long-standing custom going back to the medieval period, the time of the Rush, extending through the later Rishonim, down to the Achronim, down even to contemporary times, Minhagim, that Shemitah was not practiced, even though most poskim agree that Meikra Din, Shemitah Sksafim, does hold at least Midrabanan according to most poskim, even in Chutzlar, even Bizman Hazeh. Nevertheless, there's this long-standing Minhag that Shemitah was not followed. And beginning with the Rush, the poskim have tried to offer all kinds of different explanations for why Shemitah was not followed. The Rush offers two or three explanations, Truma Tzedeshen, Maril, Marik, later poskim. The last week we discussed the most basic attempt to justify the Minhag. We discussed that there are some poskim who say that Shemitah simply does not apply with Manazet. It's a minority view, but some poskim say that even Midrabanan Shemitah does not apply. And some poskim said that was the pshat behind this minhag, but again, that's very much a minority view, so the poskim tried to offer other explanations. Tonight we'll discuss one of the other ideas that could possibly explain why Shemitah was not followed. That is the idea of Tnai. The Gemara in Machas, on Daf Gimel, one of the few sugyas of Shemitah and other places in Shas, outside the Gemara in Gittin that we did, the Gemara in Machas brings an interesting and subtle distinction. The issue here is that we have a borrower and a lender who are trying to stipulate that Shemitah should not apply to their loan. At the time of the initial loan, not like Prusbel, which is done later, we're talking here, but at the time of the loan, they want to write into the loan document that Shemitah should not apply to this loan. Can you do that? So the halacha is yes, if you do it the right way. The statement of Shmuel, he said, if you say, Al-Menashe lo tashmiteini bishvius, you shall not do Shemitah to me in Shvius, that works. Ein Shvius Mishem Tasso, you've just successfully avoided Shemitah. If you say, Al-Menashe lo tashmiteini Shvius, Shvius Mishem Tasso. If you say Shvius should not apply, then that doesn't work and Shemitah still applies just as before. And the poskim generally, the Rishonim generally, have more or less one basic explanation for what the distinction is. The wording is a little different, but the basic pshat of all the Rishonim is, if you simply address Shemitah, you say, I don't want Shemitah to apply, who are you? You're not the boss of Shemitah. Hashem made Shemitah. Shemitah has halachas. You're not in charge of saying Shemitah shouldn't apply. But if you address the counterparty, you address the debtor and say, you shall not invoke the right of Shemitah, it's mammon. This is called mas mashkas b'Torah, making a tnai against the Torah. We pass in like Rabbi Yehuda that b'davar shem mammon to know kayim. A person has the right to make tnaim that change dinei Torah, at least if they regard to mammon, and at least if there's a question of mechila. Some Rishonim, the Rashba, say every mas mashkas b'Torah involves mechila. But at least in this case, if you address the lova and say you shall not invoke Shemitah, that works. He has the right to not invoke Shemitah, and you can stipulate up front, he and you can agree that he will not be invoking Shemitah on this loan. But if you just try to address Shemitah in the abstract and say, I don't want Shemitah to be here, that you can't do. The way the Ritva says it, ukshehisnesh lo tishmitenu shviyas, when you address Shemitah, you're saying, lo yeh koach b'shviyas li shamet, Shemitah shouldn't have the power, ein b'yadim l'asnas, that doesn't work. But if you say, Shelo Yeshmitenu Lo Bishvias, the Tanai is between the two of them. He should not try to invoke Shemitah, and that works. And that's how we paskin. You can make it Tanai. If you do it using the appropriate language, you shall not invoke Shemitah, that works. So this has been one of the attempts to justify the Minhag. As we'll discuss soon, there are a couple of ways to do this. This is one of the major ways that was proposed to avoid having Shemitah be Noeg Bizman Hazeh.
It doesn't explain the origin.
Yes. Okay. Well, I won't have a full answer to that, but yes, that's true. Now, the Rishonim already have a question. The Rishonim and Achronim have a question. If this is really true, if it's really so easy to avoid Shemitah, what was the big deal of Hillel? Hillel was worried. People weren't lending money. There was a big problem. The Aniyim didn't have credit. The Ashirim were doing Averis. What's the big deal? Just all it is one line into your shtar, one boilerplate line into a loan document. You're writing pages anyway, and how hard is it to slip in one line like this? What was the big deal? Why did Hillel have to do a Prusbel? Why were people having problems? So the Beis Yosef brings the Ritva, asks this question. Not just the Ritva, the Ramban. Several Rishonim deal with this question. And the Ritva gives actually four different answers. One reason he says not all of them are so easy to understand. One answer he says is people don't remember to write this tonight. So again, why Hill couldn't just tell people to remember to write the Tanai, I'm not sure. How hard is it to remember to add one line, especially if a lawyer is doing, I guess in those days, well, they weren't always done by lawyers, but people didn't remember, so it was still causing problems. Second reason, people didn't like, the lenders didn't like writing this in the shtar, because Shanira Kilu Misyayish Melikvah Schal Bismano. Let's say you're talking about a loan that's coming due 2 years before Shemitah. Now, worst case scenario, if he defaults and doesn't pay on time, you might run into Shemitah. But it's actually a whole shaila whether Shemitah applies to a loan that isn't due till after Shemitah. But the simple case of Shemitah is when the loan comes due before Shemitah. So especially if it comes due a while before Shemitah, if the Malva starts writing in Shemitah shouldn't apply, that means he's anticipating the loan is still going to be outstanding 2 years later when Shemitah comes. Maybe he thinks that's too pessimistic. It's going to give the borrower some bad ideas. He doesn't want to start talking about that possibility. Okay, another reason he didn't feel comfortable writing this in the shtar. Two other reasons. Third reason is that it's inappropriate. It's morally, halachically inappropriate to have such a negative attitude toward Shemitah. Sheniraki lumara ayin ra l'shemitah sashvias. By saying, I don't want Shemitah, you're somehow being disrespectful to Shemitah. Why that's so much worse than Prisbel, where you simply do a wholesale dismissal of Shemitah after the fact, I'm not sure. But again, it's inappropriate to write up front, I want to eliminate Shemitah from my loan. So you're allowed to, apparently, but it's not such a great idea. Va'od, shetachach tarashvias. If this is what people would do, if Hill would have been misake and institutionalized that people should routinely write this into their documents, people would have totally forgotten about Shvias. So why is Prisbel any better? Here he finally addresses that question. He says Prisbel is better because Prisbel is a zecher l'Shvias. Prisbel at least reminds people, Dav Shemilsa. It's a big turmoil. Right before Rosh Hashanah, everyone gets together, Ba and Kula, Masas Prisbel. Everyone's running around, learning about Prisbel, coming to night call, studying Prisbel, and doing things. So that's something which is, which at least reminds people, as we discussed last week from the Urim V'Tumim, the idea that Shemitah is such a wonderful thing. It symbolizes and promotes all kinds of great mussar and ethical values, and even if you're not going to actually be knowing Shemitah with all its dinim, or even just to remember the ideals of Shemitah is good. So the Ritva felt that Prisbel is a takana which would at least remind people about Shemitah, even though it's only once in every 7 years. But slipping a simple one line into every loan document, people would just do as a matter of habit. They would forget. They wouldn't think about it, and that simply wouldn't keep Shemitah on people's minds. These were the four terutzim, the Ritva and other Rishonim. Raman gives some of them, other Rishonim bring these terutzim. These were the four terutzim that were proposed by the Ritva. We find two other terutzim in the Achronim. The Chasam Sofer mentions this question completely, as the Pesachei Teshuva notes, he completely ignores the fact that Rishonim asked this question. The Chasam Sofer says that Sofer said that someone who writes this Tanai into a shtar, it works, the Shemitah will not apply, but he's over an Isser. He's absolutely doing something he's not allowed to do. He says, even someone who makes a Tanai is being over an Isser. Which Isser is he over? He's over the Isser of Penia Dover and Levavcha Blial. The Torah says that if a Malva doesn't lend money because he's worried about Shemitah, he's over an Isser. And so too, if Chamsofer understands, so too, if you write this language into a shtar to avoid Shemitah, you're also being over the lava. Penyeh, Dover, Mlevavcha Blial. And the riot for this is, because otherwise, the Kasha of the Rishonim, why did he have to bother making a prisbel? Let's just write this language. It must be that this itself is an Isser. Again, he ignores the fact that the Ritva asked this question, gave other terutzim, and clearly felt it was not an Isser. The Ritva says, maybe it's not such a great thing, it's Ayin Rav, a Shemitah, not Mamash an Isser. Chamsofer says it's an Isser. Then he refers you also, the Chamsofer tells you to look in the Tvua Shar. The Tvua Shar in its Chedushim and Shas also deals with this question, also ignores the fact that Rishonim asked the question. Pesach Tshuva notes that they seem to have missed the Rishonim, but Beis Yosef already brought this Ritva. He says very similar to the Chamsofer, that it's actually an Isser, not like the Rishonim, but he doesn't go as far as the Chamsofer. Chamsofer seems to learn any Malva who puts in this language into his loan document as being over an Isser. The Tvua Shar says, you're only over the Isser in the following scenario. Somebody comes to you and says, I want to borrow money. So you say, okay, but I'm worried about Shemitah. So I want to put in the Tanai into my Shtar. So if he says, yes, okay, that's fine with me, then fine, nobody's over any Isser. You put that into the Shtar, Shemitah is avoided, Shalom al Yisrael. But if the Lova says, no, I don't want to agree to such a stipulation, I want a clean loan with no such condition, And then the Malva turns and says, okay, well, I'm worried about Shemitah. So if you don't want to agree to the stipulation, I'm not going to give you the loan. Then he's over the lav. That's a simple case of being over the lav. The lav is don't withhold a loan because of Shemitah. So even if you're willing to do it with a Tanai, but the lover won't take it with a Tanai, so if at the end of the day you're not willing to do it, then you're over a lav. So if they would both agree, everything's fine. If the lover says no, and because of that, the loan falls apart, and then you don't want to make the loan without a Tanai, then you're over the lav. That's much less of a chiddush than the Chasam Sofer, although it's still against the Rishonim. The Chasam Sofer seems to feel that you're always over the lav. Any malva who goes out of his way to put in this lashon into the shtar is being over an iser, a penye davrim levavcha b'lial. Tvua Shar says you're only over the iser in the case where you refuse to make the loan, but that's why he'll have to be misaking it, for those cases where the lova refused to take a loan with the tanai. And the Rishonim give other tirutzim why. The Rishonim give four other tirutzim for why this eitzah of tanai wouldn't have worked instead of Prozbul. Why Hill's Takana Prozbul was more effective than just telling everyone to make it tonight?
Rishon would argue with his assertion that this is
over the assertion. No, right. I should have been more clear about that. I don't know if Rishon would necessarily disagree that in that case where you refuse to make the loan because he won't agree, you're over the assertion. But he felt that was sufficient. That was an answer to the cash of Rishon. And they for all of the truths they bring, they don't bring that tarot. So let's figure out exactly why not. But that's his answer. This is the answer of the Rishon. Now, the truth is, certainly the idea of the Chasam Sofer that you're over an Isser, besides being against the Rishonim who asked this kasha and didn't feel you're over an Isser, it's also against other Rishonim, apparently, that are all brought by the Beis Yosef. The Rush, as we noted earlier, the Rush was the first one to point out, to bring to our attention, that in his time, people were not keeping Shemitah. And the Rush was not happy about it. The Rush has about a half dozen different tshuvas, fragments of tshuvas, pieces of tshuvas, one or more, where he repeatedly says things like, he says, I don't really want to write anything about Shemitah, as Mana said. He says, because I've had long arguments with Gedolei Ha'er. How come you don't practice Shemitah? They told me, oh, it's a minhag. We all, this our minhag is, we don't do Shemitah. And we can't be mevatel a minhag. It's a long-standing minhag, and there are old loans. We can't do anything about it. And the other tshuva, the Rush says, I told them, what do you mean it's a minhag? A minhag is against the halacha. He said, you can't have a minhag against the halacha. I told them, minhag kazesh hu lavrol divrei Torah. A minute to violate the Torah and to steal money. Ain't al chenacharav calls man shein tal a minute. You can't just have a minute that goes against the Torah. So the Rush, in his various tshuvas, does actually propose a couple of possible resolutions for the minug. One of them is that the language of the shtar they used to use, they had certain language that, we're not going to get into the details of exactly what they wrote. They wrote that the malva should have the right to collect the debt, bein bedrachim datiim, bein bedrachim lo datiim, halachic ways and unhalachic ways, the question of what that means exactly, and go to court or other possible explanations. But one explanation of the language was that you can collect the debt even after Shemitah, which is sort of against the halacha, and the Rush had a time to interpret that to mean that it's a way of saying, Amanash lo teshmitani b'shvias. The Rush says, I'm not really so happy with this idea. The Rush says, Ein li b'maskim yafal adavar zeh, kim she'ein mefurish lo teshmitani b'shvias. To twist that Lashon into the Lashon of the Gemara of Lotrach and Bishvias is not a slam dunk, and the Rush is not really happy with this idea. Then at the end of his tshuvas, he writes, my custom is, again, he says, Lo Nehigi, Lo Yadati Lama. What I do, he says, I don't, I myself practice Shemitah, I don't start up with them, I let them do what they want, and I just stay out of it. I don't feel absolutely certain enough that it's absolutely wrong and is an Aveira and has to be stopped. You know, maybe there is some justification for it, but I'm really not convinced, so I'm not going to support it. So the Rush says, I just can't deal with it. Now, another issue of the Rush, though, besides being medayik, the technical language of the shtar, the Rush says something very powerful. The Rush says that umatzasi is not slos la'atmi al shmitas yadi she'enem isar she'enem isar l'atman hag. I'm looking for a issue for me now. He says the Rush says I'm not doing anything. How can I resolve my cognitive dissonance? How can I not do anything when they're clearly doing the wrong thing? Amrani, de'efsher, kivan she'pashat ha'minhag shelo la'hashmit. This is what Rabbi Sussman was saying. It's kind of circular, he says, but the minhag became established not to practice Shemitah. V'hakol yodin zeh. Everyone knows that when they make a loan, Shemitah will not apply. Everyone knows that Shemitah is not practiced. Hav lekilu hisna malvam nashal tenshit metenu shvias. It's as if there was a tnai. The tnai was not actually explicitly stipulated. But everyone knows that there's no Shemitah. So it's as though everyone says that we're going to do the loan without Shemitah. So it's an old chicken and egg question. This happens in many minhagim, that after the minhag is established, it can change the halacha But who was the one who first established the minhag? How did they do it the first time? Was an issur involved, or it shouldn't have been honored the first time they did it? So we don't really know historically how the minhag would have developed and what happened in the early stages of the minhag. I don't really have answers for those questions. But I'll call upon him. So one of the Rush's famous yeshuvim for the minhag was, it's a little circular again, but the idea is, since the custom is not to practice Shemitah, therefore, it's as if they stipulated that they're not going to practice Shemitah, and stipulation works. So the Rush obviously held, not like the Chasam Sofer, that it's mutter to do this. The whole point of the Rush is to miyasha the minhag. You want to say they're avrayanim, so say they're avrayanim. They're doing something shalom kedin. The Rush sounds like he's trying to say that they were doing kedin based on these possible yeshuvim. So it's pretty clear from the Rush he did not feel that one who makes such a tanai is being over an isser. Unless maybe it's shayach, the Rush held, if you don't write it explicitly in the shtar, even if you mean it, you're not over the isser. I'm not sure why that would be. But in any event, the pashas of the Rush is that making such a tanai is mutter and works, and the chiddush of the Rush would be that even if you don't stipulate it, even if you don't stipulate it explicitly, if it's implicit, if it's understood, if it's universally done that way, that's as if you were masna beferish. Just one last point. When the Rush repeatedly says in his tshuvas that they told me the minhag is we don't do shmita, and I said, what kind of business is this? A minhag against Torah, how can that be? The Bach says, who said? We do find minhagim that change dinim, that change halachas. Minhag mevatel halacha. Principle in Chashan Mishpat in many places. In Chashan Mishpat, which is dinim amanus, we do find in various places that there are minhagim that can actually change the halacha. This is a very complex and difficult topic. Bach himself goes off to explain why in this particular case that wouldn't apply. I don't fully understand his arguments. I'm just going to point out here that this idea that minhag mevatel halacha, there is one major exception. The poskim say there is such a thing as a minhag shtus, or a minhag that's unfair. I used to hear from Rav Avram Baruch Rosenberg of Machon Lahara, a minhag to gazlin is nishkein minhag. A minhag to steal is not a minhag. A minhag can be that it's understood that this is legitimate, so it becomes legitimate. But there is such a thing as a minhag which is inherently unfair. And what that means, what defines one minhag as just, this is how we do things, and one minhag as, this is not fair, so it doesn't stand, is obviously a very, very difficult and very subtle point to define properly. So, for example, we find tshuvas discussing bankruptcy, where the question is, should halacha honor bankruptcy customs and laws? Some poskim said, well, the minhag is they do. The minhag is, in commercial context, the minhag is that creditors and debtors do expect to follow certain procedures which are against Torah and allow the debtor to discharge some of his debt. Other poskim say, what do you mean it's a minhag? It's a minhag to steal. You're letting the debtor steal money that belongs to, if he has money and he has assets and he's not paying them, that's gzeila. You can't have a minhag to steal. What do you mean a minhag to steal? The minhag is that debts are not owed anymore after bankruptcy. So again, defining what's considered a minhag gerua goes back to the Rishonim already. Certain minhagim were considered just bad and illogical and unfair. Those minhagim are not followed. Minhagim that were excessively against Torah, against the spirit of the Torah. So again, we don't have time, and I'm not sure I have the wisdom to properly define what this idea is, but there is such an idea in halacha that certain minhagim are so deeply and ineluctably against Torah that we don't follow them, even if they are established minhagim. That might be what the Rush meant when he was not inclined to follow the minhag, unless he has a justification based on Tanai or something else.